This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis in studio. Glad to have him here. Derek Stenson taking care of all the engineering and producing. And is he still on probation?
Of course.
Okay, just checking.
Well, are we talking on the show or legally?
Well, I think we know legally. 1-888-455-ESPN, that's the number to get a hold of us here on the show. It's the number you need to know for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up later on in the program today. I just want to get this out of the way. The NBA starts tonight. Okay, also we're going to talk about the World Series. Husker football, Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us. Plus, it's Tuesday. That means Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at approximately 12 noon. We will bring all the coaches' comments to you. Also, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to catch up with the head men's basketball coach at Hastings College, Lance Creech. They start their season this week, and we've got some news on the women's program that just came down. Plus, the high school football playoffs. Going to get a chance to catch up with Dan Moore, Hall of Fame football coach, long time at Ansley, then after retiring, has come back and has taken over the program again, and they are 7-1 with their only loss to unbeaten Anselmo Myrna last week, and they play Wallace in the playoffs on Thursday. But just one of the very interesting, knowledgeable
legends.
Athletes. Well, he's a legend. Anybody that has anything to do with UNK. The thing about Dan Moore, he's everywhere. Before I even really knew what cloning was, I knew there had to be more than one of Dan Moore because he's everywhere. But we'll get a chance to catch up with the coaches. They get prepared for their playoff run. But some breaking news just coming down here at the top of the broadcast. The Hastings College women's basketball team will start the season ranked number 2 in the country. The NAIA Top 25 preseason poll is out. They're ranked behind conference rival Morningside, who was number 1 in the poll. Three other GPAC teams join Hastings and Morningside. Concordia is 7th. Northwestern of Iowa is 14th. And Doan is in at number 25. The Lady Broncos open up the season at the Morningside College Classic this Friday and Saturday. They play Jamestown College and Dakota State. Both games will be played in Sioux City, Iowa. The Hastings College men's basketball team also begins their season this weekend, and we are pleased to talk with the head men's basketball coach at Hastings College. Lance Creech catches up with us again on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. It looks like we always scratch our heads, although we always know that this is when Hastings College basketball starts. It just always seems to be so early. Does it ever take you and the players a couple of practices to get in the frame of mind that it's time to go?
You know, not really, because with the NAI rules, we're allowed to start practice a lot earlier than maybe any of the NCAA Division II people. So I think it kind of catches people, other people more by surprise, because everybody's sitting around waiting for Midnight Madness and all this stuff, like for the Huskers and for Kearney and all those people. And all of a sudden, we've got 15 practices in at that time, and people are kind of scratching their head wondering why. But it's not as surprising to me as it is maybe other people around the area.
Coach, does the length of the season concern you at all?
It does. It does. And, I've gone back and forth on that so many times, just sitting there going, you know, why are we not as good in the second half of the year as we are in the first half of the year? And why, you can second-guess yourself to death. But I guess, in my opinion, if a kid comes to college and they leave in 4 years and they say, man, I just played too much basketball, then that's probably a positive thing.
Lance Creech joins us, the head men's basketball coach at Hastings College. And let's delve into this year's team. Of course, you got out to such a hot start last year, and the way the season started, I doubt anybody's expecting that same 15-0 start, because you've got a pretty young basketball team. There's not a lot of seniors. In fact, only 2 on this varsity roster for you.
Well, there is, but I think the funny thing about that is all 5 of our, with the starting lineup that we have that we'll we'll put out there on Friday and Saturday as we get going, all five of those kids have had starting experience. All five of those kids have had pretty good varsity experience, whether it was starting or just minutes played. So we're not maybe quite as young as what people might think. I think we're probably more inexperienced than we are young. Now, we will have a couple freshmen that will be in the mix for us. Marcus Bender from High Plains, who's a pretty dynamic post player. And then Nate Olson is a freshman point guard out of Norfolk, Nebraska. And then we have a junior college transfer, Kyler Doffitt, from Sterling, Colorado, Northeastern Junior College out there, who comes from a very successful high school program, but does have 2 years of college basketball under his belt. So, you know, we're not nearly as young as we are just inexperienced, and there's kind of some question marks. I like how kids have reacted in scrimmages and in practice situations, but it's always a different thing when the lights on the scoreboard are on, and it's really kind of a, I don't want to use the term do or die, but a win or loss situation. Things can change in that regard in a quick hurry.
Lance Creech, Hastings College basketball coach, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you guys are picked to finish seventh in the GPAC conference. When you look at that, what part of your game is going to have to improve throughout the season if you're going to finish above that in the top three or four?
Well, I think we've got to develop some post play. And I don't mean, you know, we've been very fortunate here the last 3 years to have Bobby Kempf in our lineup to where, if you ever got in a pinch, you could at least throw it into a seven-footer, and the defense was going to have to double-team. If they didn't double-team, you like your chances. I mean, the kid shot like 57 or 58% for a career from the field and was a fairly good foul shooter. So you liked your opportunity to score when you got in a pinch. Now we just don't have that. We have kind of an uncertainty. So we've kind of gone away from a post-game and try to change our focus to more of just what we call an inside game, to where we've got some guards that can post up a little bit. You know, Wade Vaughns is a pretty strong kid and does a good job in the low block. You've got Scott Wissing, who is probably as good of a three-point shooter as we have in the conference, but he's also 6'5" and 215 pounds and can really do some things with posting, on the interior. And we've got some guards that can get to the interior of the defense and kick it out to some pretty good shooters. So we're not necessarily going to be able to walk it up and get it into Bobby, but we can also do some different things and spread the court and probably make ourselves a little bit more explosive, as the season goes along.
Will you look to be more of a half-court game, Coach?
No, just the opposite. We're going to run as long as I can tolerate it. I know that much. And I've said that in the past, but when those turnovers start racking up, I think we've got to have an understanding of what's most successful for us and for our personnel. I think we've got some kids that can get out and fill the lanes and transition and things like that. But, when you say you want to push the tempo, kids here, they just want to run and shoot on the first pass, and that's not exactly what I have in mind.
So, points, 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 points.
Yeah, exactly. No, I want percentages, percentages, percentages. So if we can do a good job of maintaining control of the basketball and take quality shots, I think we can really get out and transition, because we do have some pretty good athletes out there. It's just not maybe the depth that we've had in the past.
Lance Creech is chatting with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, Hastings College does start this weekend. You only have to go to Crete to the Doan Classic. You're playing Clark College and Lindenwood. What can you tell us about those schools?
Probably just what you just told me. We're playing Clark College and Lindenwood, and Clark College is coming off a very successful season. They had a Hall of Fame coach. The guy, was there for quite a long time and coached in Iowa for quite a long time. He retired last year, was a 550-win coach. They hired a new guy, and they've got all new personnel, so I know zero about them. Lindenwood was 14-17 a year ago, I think down from a very good year prior to that. It was like a 25-26-win team 2 years ago, and they've got a bunch of transfer kids in that we know nothing about either. So I'm a little bit more concerned at this point of the year with what Hastings College has versus our opponents, just because there's not a lot of film available, and I think the more film that comes available, We'll do a little bit more with scouting, but right now I've just got to worry about what we can put out there.
And, Coach, I know it's a ways till we get to the conference here, but we mentioned the women's poll. The men's poll's out as well. Dakota Wesleyan, the highest-rated team in the conference there, 8th. Northwestern of Iowa is 13th. And then you slide down, and Morningside, who had such an outstanding year last year, is 25th. Is the overall, I mean, I'm just looking at the rankings here, that would tend to tell me that maybe it's just down a tad. Do you see that? Is there a lot of new faces coming into the conference this year, a lot of younger teams?
I don't think it's as down as it is probably more even, you know, than it's been. I think the scope of things from when I got here, you know, 6-7 years ago to where we are now, not just Hastings College, but I think just the conference in general is so so similar. You know, there's just not a lot of teams that you look at your schedule and go, okay, we're going to have to shoot really, really well and hope that, you know, they get about 2 or 3 sprained ankles in warm-ups. You know, I mean, that's the way it was about 6-7 years ago. And now, you know, you just, you know, you're still going to have to play good to beat anybody in our league. But I think the parity, so to speak, is a lot cleaner than it was a while back. You know, when I first got here, Dakota Wesleyan was at the bottom of the league. That was one of the few teams we could beat when I first got here. Now they're at the top of the league, and they're ranked in the top 10 preseason. So, you know, things have just fluctuated, and what we've got to do is we've got a pretty good opportunity because we have Dakota Wesleyan twice, home and home here, and then we have Northwestern, Dort, Briarcliff, all at our place in January and February. So we've got a pretty good opportunity to make a push against some of those northern teams if we can take care of business. But it's not even Halloween, and I'm talking about January and February, which seems pretty ludicrous, but as quick as October got here, January and February will be here that much sooner. So it's something that's always in the back of your mind, but, you know, you got to start on Friday and worry about Saturday when you wake up Saturday morning.
Well, Coach, before we let you get out of here, you're starting 5 on Friday is what?
Jeremiah Slough from Donovan. He'll take care of the point guard responsibilities for the most part. Wade Vaunt, familiar name and face for the Kearney folks from Cambridge. He'll be a junior here for us this year, and he's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none at this point. He's done a lot of really good things for us. Derek Spooner at the other guard, who's a sophomore, a real dynamic kid, a very athletic player from Millard North. Scott Wissing, who's been in here about as long as I have, it seems like, from Grand Island Central Catholic. And then Kyle Walmsley, who was with us a year ago and did a good job of backing up Bobby. Maybe obviously he's not 7 foot and athletic. He's more 6'5" and athletic, but does a very good job defensively and rebounds it for us. And, you know, we've just got to continue to work with him to get his post game going and make sure he's a threat for us offensively. But that's who we'll start. You know, knock on wood, we've got 3 days of practice to get ready for things and make sure nobody gets hurt. So we've got a few days of preparation, and that's what we'll put out there to start.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck in the season openers this weekend and look forward to chatting with you again throughout the season. Best of luck to Hastings College.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care. Head basketball coach for the Hastings College men, Lance Creech, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Men and women get their seasons underway, 2 different spots this Friday and Saturday. And, of course, Mike Will always has basketball. He's with the women this weekend, but you can hear Hastings College basketball on 1230 a.m. KHAS.
Doug, you start this early, and there's got to be a general feeling over there, and Lance has been around long enough to know when you've got to get players, you know, when you get a lead, those players sit because you can't rack up those minutes. And you see that in the NBA. I mean, you're starting the same night the NBA is starting, basically.
The NBA what?
That's how long the season. I mean, obviously you're not playing into July like they do, but at the same time, it's a long season.
It is a long season, and it begins this weekend. And UNK, well, they're a couple of weeks off. The women, of course, next week with their exhibition game against the Huskers. And don't forget, for the men, UNK and Hastings College renew their rivalry at UNK on the 18th of November. We'll take a break. Continue on with the Doug and Daddy Show. It is Husker Tuesday, so Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at around noon. Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, will join us from the press conference. Coming up in our next segment, Dan Moore, the head football coach at Ansley. The Hall of Famer is going to join us. Plus, it's Tuesday, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, all that and more coming up. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We thought it might be a good idea to get the boys together to do a little singing. You know, to add a little glitz and glamour to the show.
There's no business like show business like no business I know.
You'll be comforted to know that we've since decided to take her easy in the old glitz and glamour department.
Lower your cholesterol the safe and all-natural way with one of our tried-and-true cholesterol-lowering products, ChelesFactors. We have had patrons drop 20 to 200 points off their total cholesterol counts and improve the good-to-bad ratios without the side effects of prescription drugs. At the Kearney and Hastings GNCs, our staff is dedicated to providing you the best products available and stay current on the latest trends to know how to safely, naturally, and effectively lower your cholesterol. Ask about ChelesFactors today and let one of our knowledgeable staff find you an all-natural solution from your head down to your toes at the Kearney and Hastings GNCs.
We've heard it all our lives. Big guys don't cry. No pain, no gain. Well, there's no gain in the pain if it keeps you from work. At Choice Care Chiropractic, they'll find out what's wrong and if it can be treated. And Dr. Wayne, armed with the latest chiropractic and acupuncture technology in a state-of-the-art facility, will get to the root of the problem. So what do you have to lose? Except the pain. So call Choice Care Chiropractic at 308-398-1900 because you don't have time for the pain.
Today's training tip brought to you by See the Trainer. Most ankle injuries are the result of rolling over at the outset of the ankle. The ligaments can be stretched or torn, and the treatment depends upon the extent of the damage. Treatment should always include rest, ice, compression, and elevation, or RICE for short, until you have a chance to see a healthcare professional. Then you may be placed in a cast, splint, or ankle brace with or without crutches. The treatment emphasis should be on early protective movement and at the same time preventing motion in the direction of the injury. The air cast ankle brace is often used in the initial phase of the injury due to its ability to provide two of the essential components of immediate care, compression and protection. You can continue to move the foot up and down, but not in and out. If you've had an ankle injury, See the Trainer has a wide variety of ankle braces, ankle supports, and walking boots in stock. Whether you're a competitive athlete or just a casual walker, See the Trainer has the product that will get you back in the game. To learn more, visit them at 3819 2nd Avenue or go to seethetrainer.com. See the Trainer, 237-9244.
On the old frontier, trust meant survival. That same spirit is at home-owned Frontier Ford in Hastings, starting with their word of the lowest prices guaranteed. Not every Ford dealership passes the stringent customer service training that earns it the coveted Blue Oval certification, but Frontier Ford has. From the no-pressure, expert sales staff to the technicians who treat your vehicle with the same care that a cowboy on the range might have paid to his prize horse. Sound like a deal? Head to Frontier Ford, North 281 Hastings, or on the web at SpadyAutos.com.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with high temperatures of around 60. Southwest winds will also remain around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and a low near 31 with a light southwest wind. Then into Wednesday, temperatures climb to the upper 60s. I'm weather eye meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Nebraska, Oklahoma week. I've got an email here from Mark, listening on the old website in Columbus. Doug, I have a Nebraska-Oklahoma moment. Not a big one, but how about Nebraska beating Oklahoma 37-0 in 1995? It was the final Big Eight game. Mark in Columbus. That is true. And again, I think you can kind of tell Mitch Sherman's age on his favorite moment. We'll talk with him about that coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show when we catch up with Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald. We'll ask him about that because that is our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Your favorite Nebraska-Oklahoma moment. I've thrown up four of them. Obviously, there's many more. If you have a favorite moment, go ahead and email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Yeah, I think those losing those games growing up, and Doug, you're a little bit older than I am. What's your initial Oklahoma memory?
Oh, we went over this a million times. It's when I put my foot through the chair when Tom Rude knocked out, and it always slips my mind. I always want to say Busta Rhymes, but the kick returner for Oklahoma when we finally beat him there in '77 and won that football game. That's the one 78, excuse me, in 78 when we beat them.
Then we got the luxury of playing them again later.
Where we didn't get the call, but then we played them in the Orange Bowl. That's my number one memory.
Did you get in trouble?
Yeah. It was a brand new Nagahide recliner, and I kicked the side of it. My foot went through it.
That's so great.
I didn't. You know that story. I've said it before on the show. Yeah. I got locked in my room. Somehow made it out just as the football game was ending to see the last 15 seconds or whatever. I was so pissed.
Oh, that's good stories. Good memories, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Keep them coming. We appreciate all the emails we get. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Hey, Kerbet wants you to fall in love with your home all over again. Bring out that hidden beauty you once saw when you chose your home. Find that curb appeal again. Now it's time to get your home or business. That's residential or commercial. Looking hot again, so come springtime, all you have to do is pick what flowers, shrubs you want. Complement the color of your home or business. Kerbet is where it's at. They've been bringing life to landscapes, and hey, we know things are dying right now because of the freeze, but that's take nothing away from that. Get your Kerbet appeal set right. 1-308-237-4805. Matt and the gang, stamp curbing, lighted curbing, border applications. Get them ready for next spring. All you have to do is get in there and plant your flowers and trees. Check them out on the internet, kerbet.net. That's CURBIT.net. Call Matt and the gang today at 308-237-4805. Check them out. Get it set for spring. You still got time this fall.
Well, as Matt and the gang can tell you at Kerbet, once you have professionals taken over and they start planting the seed and working things, things can get turned around and look real good in a short amount of time. And that's what's happened at Ansley High School, where the Warriors are 7-1. And we are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show this morning by the Hall of Fame coach, Dan Moore. Dan, good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay, and it's great to finally get you on the Doug and Daddy Show, man.
Well, I'm pleased to be here.
Well, let's start with the big picture, Dan. You spent so many years at Ansley, and everybody knows about all the playoffs and all the state championships and state finals. Then you retired like everybody does when they turn, 45. But you came back and you took over this football team, and in a pretty short amount of time, you got them to respectability, and now you got them to a place where you can win some playoff games. So what did you do when you came back that first year? What was the first thing that you had to do to point things in the right direction?
Oh, I think, when I come back, the kids, they wanted to win. We had some decent, good kids, that first year or two. Well, we still got good kids, We get them all on the field. But, I think it's a big thing with the kids, they like to play football, just a matter of, maybe, getting them in the right direction and working hard. And, the last 3 years, kids have worked as hard as any kids we had, So I just think, it's just they like to play football. And, even though we've been competitive the first 2 years, we've played some good teams. But, I just think it's, the kids, they wanted to play.
Dan, I want to ask you, what's the biggest difference when you return to coaching to 20 years ago when you're coaching?
I think it's more sophisticated, the game is. There's more offense and more defense. It's just, probably 20 years ago, people didn't change their offense, and, they're more of a running game back then, and I think defense was, it was more of a basic defense people played, and you didn't have to cover the whole field probably 20 years ago or more, like you do now. Football was played in the middle of the field. You go down to Grand Island, Ken Fisher was down there. The field was always tore up right down the middle of the field because that's where the game was played.
Well, you definitely had some great running teams in your time, but just looking at your team that you've got this year, Dan, I know that you were impressed by some of the quickness that these kids had. Has the season played out kind of like you thought it might?
Oh, probably. Everything has gone right for us. We won the game. I think, we're probably where we are as far as one loss record. I know Anselmo Myrna's had a you know, we knew they were going to have a good team before the season started. But I think the one loss record is probably about where we're, you know, should have been. But, you know, we've had some things that happened that really, you know, that maybe you wasn't planning on happened. But, you know, we've had kids step up. We've had our other kids have stepped up and played, you know, played good football that maybe we weren't depending on, but they've, you know, they did a good job.
Dan, as you look ahead towards this week in Wallace, what concerns you about them?
Oh, they're a running team. They run right at you. We had a little trouble stopping, you know, Loomis the other night. And, you know, they were basically just running the ball right at us. And that's basically what Wallace does. You know, they run the ball and run the ball. They don't really throw that much. They got a little bit of size in the backfield, and they got a good quarterback. And it's, you know, I think that's this time of year, a lot of people, you know, they've got their offense down, and they, you know, they got their blocking assignments down, and they're going to be more apt to be able to run the ball this time of year.
We're talking with Ansley Hall of Fame football coach Dan Moore here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ansley did go from D1 to D2 this year, but it seems like maybe when you get to 8-man, just about everybody's at the same level. And coach, tell me a little bit about some of the pick a couple kids, maybe if you could, that have stood out on your ball club and have been leaders for you this year.
Oh, I think our quarterback, Wes Lack, has stepped up. He was a running back last year, and he, you know, this is his first year quarterback, but he's a threat, you know, at the quarterback, and he's did a good job, you know, throwing the ball and you know, good job running the ball, and, you know, he's been a good leader for us both, you know, all the way through, you know, even, you know, last summer you know, even on defense, I think. So he's kind of, you know, he stepped up. He's really played better than what I thought he would at quarterback. You know, he's got good speed. And you know, like I say, he's a, you know, he's a threat when he's throwing the ball and whatever. And oh, probably also we have Levi Entz. He's a big end, you know, 6'5", 200 pounds. He's played good defense and, you know, he can catch the ball, and you know, he's done a good job for us. Them two have probably have really kind of been our leaders, you know, not that our other players have not played good football, but.
Dan, I guess when you look at the whole D2 picture as a whole, do you like where you're at in the draw you got?
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, you got to take one game at a time. I would think, you know, most of the time I think these classes don't make any difference what class, you know, you get to the point totals, you know, and those people are up there at the point totals, they're probably the favorites, you know, like on our side, we got, you know, Anselmo Myrna and probably Sargent and Ewing are the top three. On the other side, you got Elgin and Humphrey St. Francis. It looks like to me they're the two best teams in, you know, in the East. And I don't know. I think Hayes Center's got a good ball team. They've got an outstanding quarterback or middle linebacker, that this goal kid. Well, I'll tell you, that kid was good last year. I think you guys seen him. Had the same play down at
Yeah, we did.
Not too.
Yeah.
There's some solid football teams. And, Dan, before we let you get out of here and get back to game planning, it's no secret. All good coaches are good coaches, and everybody knows that you're a good football coach, and you've been around long enough to, as you said earlier, see some of the changes in football. When a young kid just starts coaching, and I think that's what we see a lot of, especially in the 8-man ranks, needs a bit of advice, what's the one thing that you would tell a young kid that's taken over a high school football team as a head coach in the state of Nebraska? What's the one thing that they should know?
Oh, it's kind of a tough question, but I think, you know, you just got to try to stick with, you know, what you think's going to work. You can't be jumping around, I don't think. You know, you got to kind of, you know, whether it's offense or defense or whatever, I would, you know, I think the people have had good success, have stayed in one place a long time. You know, you can go back, not just me, but if you look back, people that, you know, that stay in the same place are the ones that seem like they, you know, I can go down through a lot of coaches that have stayed in, you know, Gary DeBoer and Jim Cole out at Hayes Center, and, you know, even your Class A or B coaches have stayed, you know. I know people, young kids maybe like to, you know, to they like to move up or whatever. But, you know, I think that's one thing, you don't necessarily have to get to a bigger school, you know, not that, nothing against bigger schools, but I just think that you stick with the same, you know, try to do the same. You can't be mixing things up every year after year or whatever, you know.
Dan Moore, that's why we like to have you on this program, Dan, because we like to be around winners, and we consider you a winner.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I've had good kids. You got to have good kids. You're not going to win unless you have good kids.
Well, and you have definitely sent out quite a few from Ansley High School. Dan, we'll see you real soon. Best of luck Thursday night
against
Wallace.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. The Hall of Famer, Dan Moore, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. By the way, Dan doesn't really care to do interviews. but he did a great job. We love talking to Dan.
Yeah, we asked him several times, you guys got to have somebody else better than that. Don't worry.
Well, I think, and he's feeling comfortable. You know, his team is 7-1. They lost Anselmo Myrna. Four of the teams that they played are going into the playoffs of this week in D2, and so we will see how Ansley goes. And you don't have to look very far ahead. Hayes Center is probably who they get in the next round. Hayes Center's playing SEM.
And it's going to be at Hayes Center.
That's the 4-5 bracket, yeah. And for you fans at SEM, plan a few extra minutes to get to Hayes Center. Beautiful once you get there, people. What is it, Maywood you got to go through, Tony?
Yes, Maywood.
That trip from Maywood to Hayes Center. Just practice, have a little extra time.
Right? No paved roads into the town of Hayes Center.
Yeah.
All gravel.
That's where your in-laws are, right? Down
yes.
that area?
Yeah, my wife is from the Wellfleet area, actually. Originally from Colorado, but they moved there later on. So that's around the area where she lives. So.
Beautiful area.
It
we
is.
Had a chance to go to Hayes Center for the Elwood game last year. Great football field and facilities there. It's just...
If you have a small airplane, it's better to go that route.
Exactly. Hey, let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We'll catch up with Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald from the press conference in Lincoln. Bo Pelini at the top of the hour. All that and more coming up.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
It's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. I always tell you about Stamps.com, where you can print all your postage right from your desk. No more wasting gas driving to the post office. No leasing expensive postage meters. If you haven't tried it yet, what are you waiting for? Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. It's a no-risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 of free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Here's what's great about it. You can print postage for all your letters and packages using your own computer and printer. No hardware to buy. It's like having a post office at your office. Don't wait. Try Stamps.com today for a no-risk trial and the $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone, top of the home page, and type in the name Colin. C-O-L-I-N. That's Stamps.com.
Please, baby, please.
Need a car for a couple days? Talk to Carney Auto Sales, the home of the $26 a day auto rental. $26 a day. Shoot, you can't beat that with a stick. And you get 150 free miles to boot. The $26 a day auto rental from Carney Auto Sales. When you know, please, baby, please. Just isn't gonna cut it.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The state high school football playoffs kick off on Thursday. Here are some of the area games. At 2:30, Newman Grove is at Eustis Farnham. At 3 o'clock, St. Paul is at Gordon Rushville, and Arapahoe is at Clearwater Orchard. At 3:30, Crofton is at Minden. At 4 o'clock, Garden County is at Elwood. At 5 o'clock, Stewart's at Pleasanton, Lindsay Holy Family at Bruning Davenport, and Loomis at Mullen. 6 o'clock kickoffs Thursday. Boone Central is at Hastings St. Cecilia, Fullerton at Blue Hill, Thayer Central at Ravenna, Overton at Burwell, Silver Lake at Maxwell, SEM at Hayes Center. 6:30 has Southwest at Kearney Catholic, Exeter Milligan at Freeman, and at 7 o'clock, Wood Rivers at Grand Island Central Catholic, Loop City at Elm Creek, Axtell at Medicine Valley, Amherst is at Franklin, Palmer at Giltner, Deschler at Shelby, Lawrence Nelson at Hampton, and Wallace at Ansley. Class A and B will be on Friday, 7 o'clock, Omaha Westside at Kearney, Lincoln Southwest at Grand Island, Lexington at Aurora, Holdridge at Schuyler, and Columbus at McCook.
It's the day after Thanksgiving Superfan pilgrimage to Lincoln or NU, Colorado. But the first thing you need to do to qualify to win is to make sure you're signed up as an ESPN Superstation Superfan at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by Rich & Son Camper Sales, Sun Heat Systems, Schroeder Smoke Foods, and ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with high temperatures of around 60. Southwest winds will also remain around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and a low near 31 with a light southwest wind. Then into Wednesday, temperatures climb to the upper 60s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, where it is Tuesday and time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We should have like a theme song for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
I'll come up with something.
You work on that. Troutman's is giving away a $25 gift card every Tuesday. If you know our Doug and Daddy Trivia, 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Call now. We're going to take the calls on the air, and we'll ask you a trivia question. If you get it right, it's a $25 gift card. Remember, if you have won in the last 2 months, you are ineligible. If you have won in the last 2 months, you are ineligible. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
It's Bob.
Bob, good morning. Here is your trivia question. It is Nebraska-Oklahoma week. I'm going to take you back to the game of the century. How many touchdowns did Nebraska's Jeff Kinney score in that game?
I'll say three.
Oh, sorry, Bob. Thanks for the call. Three is not the correct answer. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show, who are we chatting with?
Keith.
Keith, how you doing today?
Good.
All right, let's go to Oklahoma trivia. How many Heisman Trophy winners has the University of Oklahoma had?
Three.
No, incorrect. Keith, thanks for the call, though. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy's show, who are we chatting with?
Derek.
Derek?
Yeah.
All right. Where are you from?
Eustis.
All right. Well, hey, home of the Eustis Farnham Knights playoff game, 2:30, Newman Grove coming up. All right, Derek, what was the final score of the Nebraska-Oklahoma game? Game of the century, 1971.
The final score?
Yes.
I'm not for sure.
Oh, you want to take a guess?
35-31.
Oh, I think he had some help in the background. That's okay. That's right. Derek, hang on the line. You are the winner of a $25 gift card to a Troutman's Quality Meats here in Kearney, and our Derek will get the information for you.
Way to represent for the Derek's. That's what I'm talking about.
Finally one winning Derek on this show. That's right.
We got so many more Oklahoma and Nebraska
trivia. Hold on. We got Cunningham's later this week.
All right.
The answer, by the way, Jeff Kinney scored four touchdowns against Oklahoma in the game of the century.
And obviously the other one was the punt return.
Right.
I did not realize that, I guess.
And the number of Heisman Trophy winners at the University of Oklahoma, also four. Four Heisman Trophy winners at the University of Oklahoma. So those were the answers to the questions that we asked today on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. And we do that every Tuesday, a chance for a $25 gift card going all the way to Eustis. And more high school football talk. Don't forget, of course, tomorrow Bob Jensen joins us, and we'll be talking a lot of high school football tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get ready for the playoffs. C&D Thursday, A&B Friday. And don't forget, we've got plenty of football for you. Here's, if I've got my list in front of me, what we will be doing for playoff games coming up this week. And Friday, we have one game. It is Kearney High, Omaha West Side, and that will be on Power 99 FM, and that gets underway at 7 o'clock with pregame coming your way at 6:30. Now, as far as our Thursday games, 12:30 a.m. KHAS will have the Hastings-St. Cecilia game against Boone Central, pregame at 5:45 on 12:30 KHAS. On ESPN Radio, we will start with Crofton at Minden, 3 o'clock pregame, kickoff at 3:30. That'll be followed by Southwest at Kearney Catholic, 6 o'clock pregame, kickoff at 6:30. On Power 99 FM, we will start with St. Paul at Gordon-Rushville, a 3 o'clock kickoff. That will be followed by Thayer Central at Ravenna, a 6 o'clock kickoff. And on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, Amherst is at Franklin. That is a 7 o'clock kickoff on 94.5. We will have score updates from all the other games around the area. And let's face it, in this day and age, everybody that's been doing football for you is going to be doing football for you again. We are pleased to be doing as many games as we could possibly do Thursday. We wish we could do more, but we will see how the progression goes. Again, the winners of these games will be back next Wednesday, November the 5th, in classes C and D. A and B will play the first two Fridays for their opening round and quarterfinal action. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we'll catch up with Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald, plus Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. Stay here.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth, let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
Here we talk a lot about odds. This college football season, Dr. Pepper is bringing you great odds on winning some really great prizes. Just pick up some Dr. Pepper in the limited edition football cans and enter your code at drpepper.com for a 1-in-6 chance to win prizes, like a trip to a college conference championship game. And the more you drink, the more chances you have to win. Now those are some great odds. Dr. Pepper football cans are going fast, but remember, drink it slow. Doctor's orders.
One holiday tradition I have is leaving things till the absolute last minute. Maybe it's not a tradition, but I seem to do it every year. This year, Hilton Garden Inn is going to reward you for thinking ahead. Just book the advance purchase rate online at HGI.com and get up to 25% off your room. And besides a great rate, they have everything you need to have a great holiday. From a restful sleep on their pressure-free garden sleep system beds to a hearty cook-to-order breakfast, Hilton Garden Inn knows every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. Visit HGI.com for details. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal, your good time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney. May I have your attention, please? The Big Apple Sports Bar would like to once again introduce you to the original and really the biggest TV in Kearney, possibly the state. The 7-foot by 13-foot HD projection screen TV. You have got to see it to believe it. So get to the Big Apple and check out this TV for all the Husker and NFL games this season. Enjoy great food and drink specials while you watch this huge TV. Only at the Big Apple Fun Center in Kearney. Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with high temperatures of around 60. Southwest winds will also remain around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies at a low near 31 with a light southwest wind. Then into Wednesday, temperatures climb to the upper 60s. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Been talking football and basketball. Don't forget Mitch Sherman just a moment away, and then Bo Pelini, you'll hear from his Lincoln press conference. There is volleyball tonight. Hastings College is on the road at Concordia. They will first serve that baby up at 7:30, and there is a ton of high school volleyball. This is really the last big night there with football coming up, playoffs, And then with sub-districts starting for the smaller classes next Monday, just about everybody plays tonight, and that's it. On Power 99 FM, we'll be at Amherst for a triangular with Overton and Shelton. The game of the night, though, is in Class B. Number 1, Lincoln Pius the 10th, is hosting number 2, Grand Island Northwest. Northwest dropped a match earlier this year to Pius, and many people believe this is a preview of the Class B state final. So Northwest and Pius play tonight. Grand Island's got North Platte. Central Catholic hosting a triangular with Minden and Central City. Adams Central's at Wood River. St. Cecilia is hosting a triangular with state-rated St. Paul and Twin Rivers. Kearney Catholic will join Hershey in a triangular at Broken Bow. Also, Axtell, Loup City, Elm Creek, Ord, Arapaho, and SEM are hosting volleyball action tonight. Want to remind folks that also someone, something striking you as a total turkey? Well, not just Daddy. But nominated for our Turkey of the Week. You might win a 15-pound smoked turkey for the holidays from Schroeder's Smoked Foods in Shelton. Just simply email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And Daddy, you know, the turkey could have been Major League Baseball last night. We have yet to touch on the World Series. That game should have been called way earlier than it was. It was embarrassing to listen to and watch what was going on in Philadelphia last night. You have to play under good conditions. And you know what? Maybe they knew that we're hosed tomorrow. We've got to get this game in tonight, and maybe that's what they were trying to do. But let's face it. You're wearing winter weather, and it's getting winter weather gear, and it's getting soaked. I mean, there's something wrong. I mean, it wasn't just drizzling. It was pouring. I mean, when there's puddles on the field, on the infield, where ground balls could possibly go through puddles of water, that game has to have been called well before that point. And that was just bad, bad decision-making last night. And now, who knows? It's going to turn into a circus. It's going to turn into a circus unless Tampa Bay wins this game, salvages it, and goes to a seventh game where we can be talking about baseball again.
Well, and Doug, not only that is the Rays had checked out of their hotel. They had nowhere to stay. The hotel had booked up. So it's not like they just load up and go back to their hotel. They got to move an hour north of Philadelphia. There's other complications going into it. They don't think they're going to play baseball tonight. You're right. It should have been called well before that. But thank God they got the hit. Because then thank God the game's tied.
Well, that anybody could have even given any thought that the game would have been called after 5.5 innings and the Phillies would have been declared the winner, thus the winner of the World Series. You could have declassified baseball as a sport. Right there, that would have been the end of baseball. In fact, we probably wouldn't have talked about it on this show. I mean, it just seriously. If somehow, some way, that was actually, and Bud Selig said that was not going to happen. He came out and said, I would not have let that happen, which, good for him. I mean, you got to hope that. But if anybody would have been crying, well, that's what the rules say. No, the World Series, how can that not be in the rule book already? The World Series will be played 9 innings to completion every single game. That should be in there this morning. The new rule book should be printed, and that should be in there this morning. If that's not in there is idiocy. I mean, that shouldn't even have to be in a rule book, just Major League Baseball policy.
Well, I don't know when a pitcher's got to go tell, I don't know the chain of command and how it gets to the umpire, but Cole Hamill's saying, I couldn't feel my hand to throw my curveball.
Well, yeah.
That's right there. You've got to be, people want to see the baseball play at the highest level. That's what the glory about the World Series is and getting there. You played the best baseball of the year. And then you get there and you can't feel your hand to throw your curveball.
Just absolutely insane. Bo Pelini coming up here in just a little bit, and Mitch Sherman in just a second. But tomorrow, don't forget on the program, among our guests, Bob Jensen with the Huskerland Prep Report to take a look at all of the playoff matchups coming up this Thursday and Friday.
Don't forget also Fort Worth Star-Telegram's Mike Jones set to join us to talk a little Oklahoma Sooner football as well.
We'll hear from Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini coming up with his press conference, but right now we head to Lincoln a little bit early and find out what's going on with the program and what he thinks Nebraska is doing two-thirds, which is unbelievable, two-thirds of the way through the regular season. We catch up now with the nephew of T. Boone Pickens from the Omaha World Herald. Here's Mitch Sherman. Mitch, yeah, good morning.
Good morning. That's a new title for me. Thanks for going with that one.
Well, you know, that's why we have only high influential people on this show like yourself.
Sure, happy to be here.
Mitch, obviously much of the news this week has circled around the injuries that have taken effect on this team. Marlon Lucky showing up with a boot yesterday. You know anything new this morning?
I think Marlon's going to be fine. He That may have been a little bit for show yesterday at practice. I don't think there's anything serious. He tweaked his ankle some, left ankle in the game on Saturday, but he should be back at practice today. If he's not out there today, then I think there's some reason to be concerned. But, you know, when you get this late into the year and you got a guy who's a senior, if he needs to sit out a day of practice, that's probably okay. And Marlon seemed to be in good spirits and walking around fine yesterday after practice. It didn't seem to be anything at all that was going to limit him against Oklahoma on Saturday. Philip Dillard and Menelik Holt, that's another story. I would not expect either of those two to be able to suit up or even travel to Norman as part of Nebraska's 70-man travel roster. If they do, that's a real surprise at this point. Dillard has got the ankle sprain, and Holt has a knee problem. So it's going to be a few weeks on those two, and those are both positions that set Nebraska back quite a bit, I think, against the Sooners.
Mitch, what do you think then? Coach addressed it a little bit after practice yesterday about what he's going to do with that wide receiver. It's not like Holt is a 6'8 reception a game guy, but you still need to plug somebody in there.
No, he's an important part of what they do at receiver. I think especially when you play against a physical opponent like Oklahoma, you want to have guys who have big bodies. And I think he could have figured pretty heavily into what they wanted to do when they got in some third down situations. He's a good possession receiver. We haven't really seen Menelik stretch the field so much this year. He's not that kind of a guy. He may develop into that later in his career, but it's been a breakout season for him. And against Oklahoma, I think he would have been an important part of what they wanted to do, throwing the ball. You know, Todd Peterson and Nate Swift are just going to see an expanded role here. Joe Gans talked about it this morning. Peterson's going to move over and play some of that X receiver spot that Holt usually mans. Those guys, Swift and Peterson, of course, having been around as long as they have, they know the ins and outs of every receiver spot, so they can fill in there. And Niles Paul too has emerged this year as a reliable receiving target, and you know, he'll take some of that burden also that normally is filled by Holt. But you know, don't minimize the impact there, because Nebraska benefits from having a guy like that as the third target, and you know, with him missing, it's going to hurt their passing game.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, talk about the linebacker position vacated by Dillard. Obviously, Kohler steps in, gets a safety last week, plays pretty well. Is he the one that's expected to take over that role?
You know, it's hard to say at this point. I wouldn't expect Colton Kohler to be out there for more than you know, a few snaps in the game on Saturday. That was the only down that he played against Baylor was the safety. So I guess his efficiency rate is you know, higher than anybody on the team at this point. But I think Nebraska is going to try to mix some things up and get some guys into that spot who can really run. Nothing against Colvin Kohler. He's an experienced guy. He's been around long enough that he knows that position probably better than anybody other than Philip Dillard. And Nebraska is on record saying, Bo Pelini is, that he's not going to pull the red shirt of a player like Will Compton or Sean Fisher, if Fisher, in fact, is able to get a medical red shirt out of this year. But Compton won't be coming out for this game, even though he may be the most well-suited guy to fill in for Dillard in the middle. It's probably going to be a combination of Tyler Wertmann, a little bit of Colton Kohler, and then you may see Nebraska just try to do some gimmicky type things. You know, Cody Glenn could shift over there and play some linebacker. Nebraska's going to probably play, you know, without three linebackers for most of that game, and that's really going to test those defensive backs. Guys like Eric Haig and Larry Assani are going to have to be great in run support because Oklahoma will try to take advantage of Nebraska if it goes small on the defensive side. So that's something that I think some earlier opponents have not been able to do against Nebraska when they've taken linebackers out of the game, is exploit the lack of physicalness and run the ball. But Oklahoma will do that, and they'll try to run the ball all day if they see it's a hole in the Nebraska defense.
Husker beat writer Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, you had a chance to chat with Joe Gans already this morning one-on-one. How's he feeling, and what does he think the state of this team is right now?
Well, he seemed to be confident. You know, Joe had a little bit of a lapse in his timing and in his efficiency in the first half some on Saturday, and it sounds like that had a lot to do with some of the things that Baylor was throwing at Nebraska. The previous 2 weeks when Nebraska had kind of morphed more into this spread offense that, you know, not quite what we see from Missouri or Texas Tech, but, you know, Nebraska's version of the spread has been out in full force the last 3 weeks. But
Texas Tech and Iowa State didn't blitz Nebraska a lot, and Baylor did. So in some ways that threw off Nebraska's timing and kind of just the smoothness that we saw between Gans and the receivers for the previous 2 weeks. And in the second half, Nebraska did some things to correct that, and it seemed to work pretty well. They had a couple of nice touchdown drives and moved the ball pretty well throughout that third and fourth quarter. So Gans was happy with the way that they reacted in the second half, and he continues to grow in confidence, and his numbers are great, really, as this season hits the final third.
Mitch, I got to think that Joe's got to be excited to play against an Oklahoma defense that's been giving up some points, albeit with some injured players that aren't out there for them.
Yeah, to see Josh Freeman throw for 478 yards, Kansas State's quarterback, last Saturday in Manhattan is, it's got to be an eye-opening thing if you're a quarterback. But Gans didn't seem too wild about making too much out of those numbers. Oklahoma scored 55 points in the first half against Kansas State. That's the type of game that's going to lend itself to some crazy numbers being posted on both sides of the scoreboard. And basically, what Gans said is that Oklahoma shut down K-State's running game, and even though they put up the huge passing numbers, after the middle of the second quarter, K-State wasn't in that game because they were so one-dimensional on offense. And I think Gans, he doesn't want to throw for 478 yards if they're going to lose by 30 points. He would rather, keep that thing close and have balance on offense. And Nebraska's going to have balance. Balance through the short passing, through whatever running game they're able to generate. They're going to have to be able to control the clock again. That's probably key number one is that ball control for the Nebraska offense if it's going to be a close game at all down in Norman.
Well, what do you think, Mitch? Oklahoma looks to be every bit as good as advertised this year. They get a couple guys back, but they're mostly on the offensive side of the football. This defense looks like it's going to prove troubles for Nebraska, and everybody says, and it seems that Oklahoma still may have the best offensive line in the nation. Nebraska have any chance of keeping this close Saturday?
I'm just so impressed with Oklahoma's offensive line. I think it's the best part of their team. I mean, Sam Bradford's a great quarterback, and he's proven that for 2 years now. They've got a more than adequate running game, and they do everything well on offense. Their red zone efficiency is just unbelievable. I think they've been in the red zone 36 times and scored 33 touchdowns. It's unheard of numbers. The way that they're scoring, seemingly 50 points in every game, I don't think Nebraska has much of a shot at all to stop that Oklahoma offense. They're going to get their 35 or 40 points at a minimum, and I don't think there's anything Nebraska can do about it other than, just sit on that ball offensively, and we'll see. Oklahoma's defense has proven that it has some holes in it, has shown that it has some holes in it, but you're playing in their home stadium. They're going to be highly motivated coming off a game where they allowed nearly 500 yards of passing offense, so it's going to be a difficult task, but if Nebraska can control that ball, and do what it's done and eat nearly 40 minutes a clock like it has the past 3 weeks, then sure, the Huskers will be in the game. In the end, I just don't think Nebraska is going to be able to do that. I think this is a defense that's going to get Nebraska off the field on third down. They're not going to allow those extra yards. They're going to do something to close off the middle of that field or the sidelines, wherever Nebraska tries to go on those third down passing plays. And if it happens, then and Nebraska could really be in for a long day.
Mitch, take us back your favorite Nebraska-Oklahoma memory.
Well, I remember the 2001 pretty well, but it probably would go back to being a kid. It wasn't my favorite memory at the time to watch Oklahoma win all those games in Memorial Stadium. growing up in Omaha, I seem to remember being frustrated an awful lot by guys like Keith Jackson and Jamel Holloway, those great players. But they were fun to watch, and I don't think I have one specific memory of those games from the 80s that stands out. But they sure were memorable moments as a whole. The way that Oklahoma frustrated Nebraska so much in those years when I was growing up. The 01 game with the pass from Mike Stuntz to Eric Crouch. I guess if I had to single one moment out. That's a more recent one, and it's really after the rivalry had changed so much with the incoming of the Big 12. But that was one moment that sure does stand out a lot.
Mitch, just real quickly, and we'll let you get out of here. Has there been any talk down there in Lincoln this morning? Joe Shad reported this morning that maybe Gary Pinkel's name would come up for the Washington job. Has anybody discussed that at all?
I just heard a mention of that on the radio myself, and no, I definitely no talk of that in
in Lincoln. Maybe as the day goes on, we'll hear. But, hey, that name's going to come up. At this point, though, I just don't know. Unless Finkel's got some ties. I know he coached in the northwestern part of the country earlier in his career, but, you know, Missouri's a better job than Washington right now. So his name may come up, but I wouldn't expect that that would be something that he would jump at unless he's got specific interest in that school because of something that I don't know about. But right now, I'd rather be the coach of Missouri than Washington, and I'm not just talking about the Missouri team this year. I think that program is overall in better shape.
Well, I agree with you. I just thought we'd get your opinion. And, Mitch, as always, we sure appreciate catching up with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And enjoy the press conference today. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Bo Pelini's press conference. We'll have it for you here in just a few minutes, but we need to take a break. Got a couple more stories. UNK Wrestling ranked high, but not as high as that other UN something. We'll take a break, tell you about it after this. On the Doug and Daddy Show, Bo Pelini coming up.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't believe they're still on the air.
Well, it's certainly not the first time we've heard that.
Mid-America Market Information.
For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon. Here's a look at your market update. And those revised government estimates for row crop production from this morning were even more bullish for corn than they were for soybeans, even though soybeans got the bulk of the overnight interest. As far as the prices go for today, looks like corn is up 7 3/4 at $3.93 for December. Soybean are up 6 at $8.99 for November. Soybean meal is down slightly, down 1 at $2.75 for December. And soybean oil is up 53 cents at $32.25. Kansas City wheat is down 1 3/4 at $5.63 for December, but it is up 2 at $6.03.5 for July. Moving over to the Mercantile Exchange for live cattle and feeder cattle today. So they're trying to close down October. It's up 57 cents at $89.50 for October for live cattle, up 2 cents at $88.80 for December. Feeder cattle's down 10 cents for October at $95.80, and it is up 5 cents at $95.60 for November. And take a look at the lean hogs. It's down 55 cents at $58 for December, down 15 for February at $64.50. Switching to energy, crude oil is up 78 cents at 64 for December. Gasoline is relatively unchanged at 147 for November. And diesel is down 3 cents at 191 for November. Take a look at the financials. Looks like the Dow's up 145, holding up so far at 8,321. As Asian and European markets had racked up some big gains overnight, so they've been able to swing back over into the American markets and have been able to do very well. Investors are expecting a rate cut tomorrow, by the way, at the end of the Fed's two-day meeting. So we'll look for that as well. NASDAQ is up 10 points at 1516. S&P 500 is up 11 points at 860. And finally, the dollar index is up 0.31 at 87.92. For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon.
You plant the seed. You take care of the land. You harvest the crop. You do it right, you get to do it all again next year. Farming is more than a business. Farming is a way of life. Farming is part of our heritage. Understanding your roots. That's the Nebraska way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Pinnacle Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey farmers, the newest primary fall tillage system from Krauss is the Dominator, and it's changing fall tillage, friends. The Krauss Dominator features 24-inch smooth front Coulter blades, parabolic deep till shanks, a rear disc conditioner using 24-inch fluted blades, plus the soil conditioner reel, providing final clod sizing and soil firming. The Krauss Dominator, it sets the stage for fast, efficient spring seed bed trips and maximum yields. See it today at your local Krauss dealer or at KraussCo.com.
You spent a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Krauss, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN.
station, SportsCenter.
And good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the SportsCenter update on ESPN. Well, the Hastings College women's basketball team will start this season ranked number 2 in the nation. The Broncos finished 30-6 last year and lost to the College of the Ozarks in the semifinals of the NAIA National Tournament. Morningside is ranked number 1. They returned 4 starters from a team that finished 33-4 last year. College of the Ozarks is 3rd, followed by St. Francis of Indiana and Shawnee State of Ohio. Concordia is 7th, Northwestern is 14th, and Doan is number 25. Defending national champion Oregon Tech is number 1 in the men's preseason poll. Bethel College of Indiana is 2nd, followed by Mount Vernon Nazarene of Ohio, Northwood University of Florida, and the College of the Ozarks. Dakota Wesleyan is 8th, Northwestern is 13th, and Morningside is number 25. Nebraska coach Bo Pelini says the Huskers are heading into a matchup with a physical football team and likely the best offensive line seen this season. But Pelini says he's focused on controlling the ball and mixing up offensive plays in Saturday's game at fourth-ranked Oklahoma. Oklahoma averages a Big 12 leading 48.3 points per ball game. Nebraska is 5-3 on the season. They are 2-2 in the Big 12 Conference. The Sooners are 7-1, 4-1 in the Big 12. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. 3 Nebraska volleyball players were honored yesterday as Jordan Larson and Amanda Gates were named the Big 12 Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, while Huskers setter Sydney Anderson was named the Rookie of the Week. The second-ranked Huskers are 20-0 overall. They're 11-0 in the conference. They'll play at Colorado on Wednesday. 2 Nebraska Kearney volleyball players have earned RMAC Player of the Week honors. Jerry Wachowiak has been named the Offensive Player of the Week, and Cola Savek has been named the Defensive Player of the Week. And the Hastings College men's soccer team defeated Doan 2-0 last night at Lloyd Wilson Field. Matt Wadley and Yannick Thiel scored the goals for the Broncos. Hastings is now 13-3, 10-0 in the GPAC. They'll play at Nebraska Wesleyan on Wednesday. That's sports. I'm Mike Will.
It's the 16th anniversary sale at Russell's Appliance and Electronics, and we're celebrating with no interest for 12 months and huge savings store-wide on the area's best selection of name-brand appliances and electronics. Russell's has a knowledgeable sales staff, provides delivery, professional installation, and service after the sale. 16 years of fun and savings, and we're still growing with you. Russell's Appliance and Electronics in the Ponderosa Mall, Kearney.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up, Bo Pelini's press conference on this Tuesday, talking about Nebraska, Oklahoma. You know, already Ndamukong Suh was asked earlier this morning at the press conference. Evidently, some of the media folks are trying to stir up this hillbilly thing from 4 years ago. Bill Callahan, the rivalry's not what it used to be. It was brought up on the Big 12 coaches' press conference yesterday. It's Bo Pelini's first year. He has nothing to do with this. What, these players, they've already said they've never played against each other. I mean, they have nothing to do with this. Some of these guys were at Kansas City for the Big 12 championship game, but none of these guys were really a part of that. Why are they trying to stir the pot here? There's so many other things to talk about.
Well, unless you're a Nebraska kid that grew up in Nebraska and realized how the Oklahoma-Nebraska rivalry, you know, growing up and you felt that, these other kids from out of state probably have no idea. It'd be like Lance Terrell playing for Michigan with the Ohio State game coming up. Lance, how do you feel about this week? I don't know. What would your answer to that question be?
You're exactly right. And there's more and more of that going on all the time.
I mean, you go to Auburn, Alabama, if you're a Nebraska kid. Wow. Good times, I guess. There's a hell of a tailgate party, I heard. I don't know
about the Colorado State game. Texas A&M. I don't know about LSU, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. I don't know what to tell you about that. Hey, one other thing before we delve into Bo Pelini here. The preseason Division II wrestling poll out. Division I was out last week, Nebraska 6th. University of Nebraska at Kearney is number 3 in the Division II coaches poll. Number 1. UNO, number 2, Minnesota State, but number 1, UNO, Daddy.
Where's Grand Valley State at, Doug?
I don't think they wrestle there. UNK has 6 returning All-Americans. UNO, who won 3 straight national titles from 04 to 06, has a very experienced team back. The RMAC, well-represented. Adams State, 4th. Western State, 5th. Chadron State, 9th. UNK will send some freshmen to Colby this Saturday. The season begins for the varsity November 8th at the Cowboy Open. Wyoming and Laramie. Maybe we can get a little Cowboy Joe going. when we get a little closer to that. So Mark Bauer and the crew ranked third in the preseason. But now, Tuesday, Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
A little bit, so.
Go ahead and start. When you look at Oklahoma's offense, what stands out to you?
Well, they're physical up front. They got a really good offensive line. Obviously, the quarterback is very efficient. They're you know, front to back. I mean, you know, you talk about all aspects of their. They got playmakers. They have a good offensive line, and they're very well coached. They don't try to trick you. They have their. You know, everybody has their special plays, but. They're very efficient. They're very good.
Is this the best offensive line you can field face this year?
Yeah, I think it's the best. Yeah, I would say that. I think it. I don't know about the rest of the year, but up to this point, probably the best offense we've seen. They're good.
How was Kansas State able to put up so many yards on Oklahoma last week? What you saw?
Well, I think Oklahoma's going through some things right now that. I think losing Ryan Reynolds hurt them. They kind of hurt their cohesiveness, and he was a leader for them. And I think that they just gave up some big plays. It's uncharacteristic of how they play there, but they just turned a couple guys loose. They looked like they had a couple blown coverages, a couple missed assignments, and it hurt them.
You said a better offense probably than Tech. What would give them the edge over Tech?
I don't know that. They're different than Tech. I don't want to put Tech's is very good offensively too, obviously, and they're just a little bit different. They're more a little more traditional in what they do than Tech is, and which lends to them being probably a little bit more physical up front. But obviously, Tech's numbers and what they do speaks for itself. I mean, I guess I don't mean to downplay how good Tech is on offense because they were very good.
Well, TCU and Texas both contained them running-wise when most everybody else has them. Did you see anything in those two games, how they defended them, that sticks out?
Say it again.
Just kind of how TCU and Texas contained their running game a little bit.
Well, I didn't spend as much time on the TCU game because they're a little bit different than us. Texas is pretty good up front, and they were able to move the ball pretty well on Texas, and they put up 35 points. That's and really had a left some points out on the field. They're good. This group that we're playing this week is a good football team.
Is there a pick your poison with them, whether it be going after the run or the pass? Can you concentrate on one at all?
No, I mean you got to keep them off balance. You got to do some different things to try and change some things up, and obviously the situation of the game dictates some of that, and. You can't give them a steady dose of just one thing all the time because they're one thing about the quarterback is, he's a smart football player. He knows where to go with the ball and they have some weapons on the outside and they have some very good weapons that line up behind that quarterback to run the football behind a big, good offensive line. So they're very, very balanced in what they do and the problems they present. So. You got to have some balance on defense, and you have to, there's some give and take. You have to defend the run some, with less guys in the box, and there are going to be times we're going to need to add an extra guy in the box and take our chances on the outside.
Their tight end pressure has caused a lot of problems for people. When you talk about the matchup problem you have with a guy like that, it's almost like an oversized wide receiver.
Yeah, I've been watching him since he was in high school, and he's a tremendous athlete, good football player. And they do a good job of getting him the football out in space, and you know, he presents problems for you. He does. I mean, he's a very, very good athlete and a playmaker, and he's a big guy.
Well, you've been on both sides of this rivalry. What does Nebraska, Oklahoma mean to the game of college football?
Well, there's a lot of tradition in the rivalry, and that's great for college football. And, you know, it's changed, obviously, in recent years because of, you know, going to the Big 12 and what, you know, playing, you know, every 2 years, you know, in 2 year segments. But, you know, the rivalry is special to a lot of people, the fans, everything else, you know. I don't get real caught up in all that. I mean, it's different time and different place for me. And I need to, you know, it's about our football team right now. But I think it's a, you know, pretty special rivalry.
Well, when Stoops took over at Oklahoma, he went over the history of the series and educated the players about the history of the two teams when they played each other. Do the players need to know that? Do you think about what the rivalry means?
I mean, our players are well aware of what the rivalry means. And like I said, it's, you know, we kind of take it a game-by-game basis around here and day-by-day and how we approach things. And whether it's Oklahoma or Texas, I mean, the emotion will be there and the importance is there because we're going in to play a tremendous football team. And our players understand the challenge that's lying ahead of us, and we'll approach it accordingly.
How about your emotion, Coach, against Bob?
I won't be any different than I am any other game. I don't change very much.
What about the fact that you know Coach Stoops so well and the relationship between you two?
I don't see that. Doesn't really change. You know, it's not going to change our relationship, and it's not going to change how I approach it. I'm sure it's not going to change how he approaches it. You know, that's pretty irrelevant once you line up. You know, number one, we're not playing. You know, it doesn't change how you do your job. I mean, I'm not playing the game, and he's not playing the game. You know, it's not like we're going to be out there banging heads against each other like we used to back at St. Pat's and playing basketball. That was a lot more fierce than what we'll deal with on Saturday.
How divided will the town of Youngstown be when you get into this game?
You know, I don't know. You know what? Knowing the people back home, they're going to... they want us both to do well, you know. I mean, that's just the way it is. And we share a lot of friends and a lot of common friends. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of people who want to see both teams play well.
Oklahoma obviously had no trouble scoring Saturday against K-State, but Bradford had kind of a strange stat line. He was like 13 of 32. Did you see that game, and what contributed, I guess, to that low passing percentage?
He started a little bit slow, but they had some drops in the game, and they left some plays out on the field, and they were able to get way ahead, you know, early, and then it was just a strange game, and the second half, you know, he kind of dialed it back a little bit, but they were able to really run the ball effectively. And that's really what, that was the telling tale in the game. I'm not sure what the stats were, but when you watch the film, it was pretty obvious that they took control with the running game.
This will be the third top 10 team that you played. You might have Virginia Tech, which is pretty good. How has the schedule you guys have been playing, impacted, I guess, you growing the program or developing the program?
Well, I think it's been good. I think anytime you play good football teams, it helps you. It helps you see where you are and, you know, where you are right now and where you want to get to. And this is probably Texas Tech obviously was a good test, and this will be a bigger test. I mean, you know, probably, in my opinion, this is probably one of the top three teams, four teams in the country. You know, when you talk about top to bottom and how they are and their talent and their coaching, and it gives you a good benchmark to see where you are as a football team.
If you're going to build a program, is this the type of schedule you want it to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, you got to, if you want to be the best, you have to play against the best, and And, you know, I'm all for it. I'd rather play in Oklahoma than I would, you know, some Division II team. You know, it's, you know, because once again, it's good for the kids. It's good. That's why you come to Nebraska to playing games like this.
Well, you were part of that staff down there. How good is that coaching staff when you look at it top to bottom?
Oh, they're very good. They're well prepared. They're tremendous coaches and very good people. It was a great experience coaching there for a year.
How much of an impact did this Stoops have on your career?
Well, I learned a lot from him, and you know, obviously, he's had tremendous success, and he did. You know, right now, we're, you know, obviously, I'm at a point in my career where I believe Bob's been there about 10 years, and I don't know if I've been here 10 months, so it's a little bit different. But he went through, you know, he when he took over the Oklahoma program, it was very similar to the situation where I took over. I don't know if, you know, if it's, it was exact. I don't know that, but, you know, so one thing I do know is when the season's over, I'll probably at some point visit with him about, you know, moving forward and the things that he needed to do to move forward. And as I will a lot of the guys I coached with, and, you learn from people. That's one thing I understand in this profession is I don't have all the answers. And, you know, and you learn and you grow as you move along. And my year there with him provided me with that much more ammunition to kind of move forward in my career, and as has all my experiences.
Well, he had some pretty fast success down there. I mean, are you set up that way here?
I sure hope so. You know, I think we're... you know, I think he, you know, I don't know, I don't want to get into all the history there, but I think he won his, you know, he won a national championship pretty much in year two. You know, is that going to happen here? I sure hope so. I don't, you know, I mean, that's what we're working towards. And I think we're, you know, like I said, I focus on where we are now and where we want to get to, and we're not at the level I want to be to yet, but I think we're getting better as a football team.
In the first 6 months that you were here, did you bounce ideas off of him? You said you came into a pretty similar situation.
Not a lot, but you know, I mean, we visited some, and I remember him calling me after the first month, and he didn't, you know, we kind of talked after that national championship game and after I'd been here for a while, and he just called and was laughing, saying he didn't even remember his first month. It was so hectic, you know, but he, you know, he's a friend who is always there to lend a, you know, advice if I ask for it.
So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, your families are intertwined and Cardinal Mooney and all this stuff, and you mean to tell me as a competitor, as a passionate guy like him, there's not an ounce of you inside that's going, man, I'd love to win this game.
I love to win every game. I'm sure he'd say the same thing. You know, it's about, it's not about Bob and I. It's about Nebraska and Oklahoma and these players and the programs. You know, like I said, I don't really change who I play or what I do or, you know, I approach it. I mean, there's a certain way you go about it to try to prepare your team to play the best you possibly can play every given Saturday. That's what we're going to try to do this week, you know, and you know, it's, I understand we're playing against a heck of a football team. We need to play our best football, which we haven't done yet.
Obviously, it's up to, I suppose, the Big 12 in some ways, but would you be in favor of pursuing long-term either a non-conference game or a continued concert game every year with Oklahoma, similar to what Oklahoma had with Texas prior to the inception of Big 12?
You know, there's so many factors involved in that. I see, like you said, it's more of a Big 12 question. I think it'd be great for the fans and great for the rivalry. Is it fair? You know, it just depends on how they set up the rest of the schedule, and that's the key. You know, that's the key to it all. Because ultimately, in being the head coach here at Nebraska, our number one job is to win the Big 12 North if you want to move forward. And if you're playing Oklahoma every year, that's great for us. It's great for the rivalry. But if we're doing that and some of the other teams in the division aren't doing that, is that the best thing for our program? I don't know that. You know, like I said, there's a lot of other factors involved in that scenario. You know, I just came from the SEC, where there are certain rivalries that certain teams that play every year, regardless of the schedule. And at LSU, I loved playing Florida every year. It was fun to coach in that game. It was fun for the rivalry. But ultimately, was that real fair? Not necessarily. It all depends on how they set up the rest of the schedule and what they do for the other programs and who they have to play every year and that type of thing.
What about as a non-conference game in September?
But I think it'd be great for the rivalry to play Oklahoma. It'd be great to play Oklahoma, but they'd have to set it up in a way that it's fair for everybody. And it still gives us, a very, very good opportunity to win the Big 12 North if you don't win that game in any given year.
Would Michigan, Ohio State be Michigan, Ohio State if they didn't play every year?
No. There'd be a riot. That's the truth.
Because without Philip Dillard, does that change anything game-winning-wise that you do?
It doesn't change the game plan, but it changes us because he's getting better. He played a pretty good football game last week, and I just feel bad for Phil because this game would have been special to him because he's from the state of Oklahoma, and more than likely he won't make it to the game. But I just feel bad for the kid. It's part of the deal. Oklahoma's going through that themselves right now with losing a good football player. And although I don't think Phil's injury is as bad as Ryan's, I don't know if he's going to be ready for Saturday.
Is it, you think, potentially that tough to get back and mention without Oklahoma defense is kind of...
Yeah, anytime you take a good football player out of the mix, which he is, you got to make some adjustments, and especially at that position. And, they're going through that a little bit, and they're working through it, and we'll do the same thing.
Looking to put in a number of guys there? I mean, is there any one guy?
Depends what personnel grouping we're in. You'll see Colton in there some. You'll see Wortman in there some. Personnel groupings, and Cody can play at the mic in some instances. Matt Holt's a guy that has shown that he can step in and play some. It just depends on what personnel groupings they have in and we have in.
Can you talk about Colton and what you've seen out of him in practice?
He does a good job. He hasn't played a lot of football. He's fairly inexperienced, but he's a guy who busts his tail and comes to practice every day, and we have confidence in. Obviously, he's not game tested, but in a lot of respects. But he walked in there. He went in there the other day and didn't blink an eye. Went in there and made a play, and to his credit, and he has a good demeanor, and I think he'll do well.
Can Bradford be rattled?
I haven't seen it. He seems like a really calm, cool, collected guy. And they do a good job of... he's a very good decision maker. And obviously he's very accurate in how he throws, but he makes good decisions, and he makes quick decisions. He's extremely well coached. I know the guy who, their offensive coordinator, and then Josh Heupel, who coaches their quarterbacks, they do a very good job, and he's very decisive in what he does. And like I said, they don't get away from what they do. They kind of do what they do, and they let the quarterback manage it. They're just very efficient, and they execute very, very well on a weekly basis.
Oh, that ball control style that you guys have done so well the last 3 weeks. Is it even magnified this week because of what Oklahoma can do on offense?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's. I mean, you want to try to limit their possessions. Now, it'll be a little bit more of a challenge to control the clock like that, like we have, But you like to win the time of possession. Obviously, the less shots you give them at you, the better. That's always the case. I've said as long as I've been in coaching, the best defense is when you're sitting on the bench. But we have to be efficient and score points. You know, you can't That's a little bit. It was disappointing last week because we moved the ball very well at times. We left points out on the field and didn't finish drives. And that's an area that we have to get fixed for this week. We have to play better in every phase this week than we, and execute more consistently in every phase to get on there and get a win.
What have you seen from those guys offensively, your guys, that has allowed them to be so good at that aspect of the game, with that grinding out those long drives these last few weeks?
Well, I think I like the schemes, obviously. And I think that, a lot of our success comes back to the quarterback. And, Joe just manages the game very well. He's an extension of our offensive coaches, and I think he makes good decisions, and he's been more efficient. He started off a little bit slow the other day, but he got better as the game went on, and he's just so tough and competitive, and he's playing at a pretty high level. He's made a lot of plays for us.
The offensive play calling is about 50-50. Is that by design or just the way some of the game is played out?
No, I think that's what you ultimately want to be. You ultimately want to be, very, very balanced in your attack and be able to keep people off balance. And I think that's been one of the keys to what we've been able to do. You can't, you don't want to be, one-sided all the time. And I think that we're in a good rhythm.
Well, Marlon said he feels a lot more comfortable with these schemes, the last couple of weeks where you're spreading it out. What have you noticed from him since you guys have made those offensive changes?
I just think the last couple of weeks, Marlon has played, I can't really speak on what he did before. I think he's played his best football the last couple of weeks, both in the running game and the passing game. And so I can see why he would feel pretty good about, kind of the direction and what we've been able to accomplish the last few weeks.
Well, you haven't been here all the time, but, can you sense, Marlon Lucky came here with such high expectations and living up to them has, maybe been a difficult thing? Have you ever sensed that at all with him trying to live up?
Yeah, Marlon, I think he has a good demeanor about him, and I talked this about our football team a lot. I said, you can't worry about what the expectations are outside. You can't go through life trying to live up to other people's expectations. You have to... you have to do what you do and look at the truth and try and sort through and find the facts. And as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror every day into what you're trying to accomplish and you're putting the work in to get where you want to be, then you're okay. And, because if you try, I heard John Elway say it a long time ago, if you go through life trying to live up to other people's expectations, you know, sometimes they're set so high they can be unrealistic. And, I'm sure in Marlon's case, you're such a heralded guy coming in. That was probably the case to a certain extent. Somebody's tape recorder clicked off here.
Coach Osborne, shared any thoughts about this series to wrap up on the series?
He just told me to win the game.
That's all you need.
Anything else, guys?
He told me if I don't win, I'm fired, so I hope you win.
Good luck.
Sorry, are you a realtor?
Did he communicate to you that it was hard for him to do that initially, that he lost the first five? And did he communicate that it was a tough thing for him to get over?
Yeah, I don't know. In his mind, he's been away from coaching long enough. I don't know. In his mind, yes, he didn't lose that. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Bo Pelini, head football coach at the University of Nebraska, going out on a lighthearted note there. And, Tony, coach had quite a few things to say as they get ready for Nebraska, Oklahoma. We'll discuss what happened today at the press conference right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
An outstanding presentation. An outstanding.
It all happens at doggone fast. I barely had time to react. You see, I was heading south on Avenue E to take the kids to school, and I got distracted. So I didn't see that car backing out of the driveway until it was too late. Now, thankfully, no one was hurt, and it was just a fender bender. But now my front end's out of whack and needed to be fixed, which put me in a fix with no wheels and kids to get to school and a job to go to. And, well, there you have it. And mind you, I'm not made out of money, don't you know? So what did I do? I called the guys at Carney Auto Sales. They rent cars. They rent cars as low as $20 a day, and they'll even come and get you. Carney Auto Sales. Affordable, reliable rental cars. That about sums it up. You should call them if you're ever in a pickle. They'll help. They help me. Carney Auto Sales on East Highway 30. Call 236-7009. That's 236-7009 for your next car rental. Carney Auto Sales. The ones to call if you're ever in a pickle. Now that it's getting colder outside, what are you going to do for fun? The Big Apple Fun Center in Kearney has the answer to that question with Wii Golf and Bowl tournaments for all ages. Get your team registered today for the 9-hole Tiger Woods 2008 Golf Tournament and the 10 Frames of Brunswick Pro Bowling Tournament on the Wii being held at the Big Apple Fun Center November 13th. $5 entry fee and sign up ends November 12th only at the Big Apple Fun Center in Kearney.
We would like to play.
Hank says, as it gets colder, you want to make sure your shower is warmer. Visit Hardware Hank for water heaters from Reliance. Hank will help you pick out the one that fits your home, and they all come with a 12-year parts and tank warranty. Think about how much you depend on hot water, and you'll want a water heater from Reliance. Visit HardwareHank.com to find your local Hardware Hank.
You've got a lot more going for you at Hank's Hardware.
You're tired of the pain, the nagging from the wife or the girlfriend to go see a doctor, their doctor. You know she's right, but you're not sure about where to go. Well, it's time to man up. Get rid of the pain. Stop the nagging that ails you. Call Choice Care Chiropractic. Armed with the latest knowledge and technology, they'll get to the root of the problem. Help it and stop the nagging. So call now, 308-398-1900. That's 398-1900 because you don't have time for the pain.
End joint pain naturally with Joint Stress RX. Many people don't know that there are safe and natural ways to decrease pain and increase your mobility. At the Hastings and Kearney GNCs, our staff specializes in providing you the information needed to attain the perfect supplement for you and your needs. Joint Stress RX is one of our best joint formulas, but we have many options to treat what ails you. So run, don't walk, and let our knowledgeable staff find you an all-natural solution from your head down to your toes. Now at the Hastings and Kearney GNCs.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, they're not going to play the World Series tonight. Game 5 already postponed. They're going to try tomorrow night. Let's play it as late as possible, too. 8:35 Eastern tomorrow night. Let's wait 2.5. Let's play it Monday. Let's wait as long as we can. Get it over with now. Play it in the afternoon. As soon as you're ready to go tomorrow, play it.
Why?
Whatever. The fans already were there. Also,
why are you so angry at baseball all of a sudden?
Because everybody else is, and I follow.
Well, it's the sixth inning.
No, that's you. You're
if you played the game, at 7 o'clock, it wouldn't be in the sixth inning by 8:35 anyway. So just relax.
Unbelievable. So that's tomorrow night. Also tonight, a couple of college football games. Normally ho hum, but hey, it's Turner Gill Frank Solich tonight, Daddy. The Ohio Bobcats favored by a deuce.
They're at home. The money's going on Buffalo, though. They're at home. The line opened at 3. It's down to 1.5 or 2. So. The money's piling in on Buffalo.
Second straight Tuesday game for Ohio.
I'm going to take the Fighting Soliches and Noah Keller.
Okay. All right. Also, one other bit of note as we finish up with some Bo Pelini thoughts here. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper inbox says, hey, guys, from Mike over at St. Paul says, heard you guys discussing the Pinkel to Washington story briefly this morning, referring to maybe Gary Pinkel would be interested in the Washington job.
Ray Finkel's cousin.
Wondering if there are any ties. He goes, I picked this off a Journal Star blog a little bit ago for whatever it's worth, and usually that's about all it's worth. But he says, there's been a lot of speculation connecting Pinkel or his offensive coordinator Christensen to the Washington job. They both coached there under Don James. Reportedly, Pinkel and his family loved the Seattle area. Unless they just threw a boatload of money at Pinkel, why would you leave?
Well, Lane Kiffin's already...
Oh, why would you hire Lane Kiffin? We already know how those ex-Oakland Raider coaches going straight to college turn out.
What? See, the anger carries over now to this conversation.
It's not anger. It's not anger. It's fact. Fact.
Jeez.
Fact.
totally amazing at 12:30.
And when you're talking about anger, you bring up another Oakland Raiders coach, John Gruden, now at Tampa Bay. Chucky always angry. Those were a couple stories that kind of came down here while Bo Pelini had his weekly press conference. Danny, your thoughts, anything that jumped out at you right away?
Well, initially when he said he thought the players understood the rivalry, I don't think the players have any idea on the rivalry. And we kind of got into that. And I
not
think,
unless they're Nebraska
not players. Not unless they're Nebraska players that grew up around some aspect of it and took in the full effect when we played year in and year out. And I think it's encouraging when he says, hey, we're on the right path when talking about Bob Stoops winning a national title in his second year. Yeah, he hopes we can do that here, but I think we got a lot of things pointing in the right direction, him saying. He's downplaying all the Stoops Pelini. That whole
How much rhetoric can you have? How much can there be? I mean, he's been down this path before, LSU Oklahoma.
Well,
it's been there before, and how much can you say? How much can you possibly say? Yeah, they both want to win. Yeah, they're from the same area. Yeah, they're friends. Yeah, they talk. Yeah, they don't want to beat each other's brains in. But they want their teams to play their best, and the better team's going to win. I think Coach Pelini actually, maybe for the only time this year, without saying it, he knows this is probably not a winnable game. They're going to do his best job that they can, but I think this is probably the only game. And he didn't say it, and I'm not referring to anything he said in the press conference led me to believe this, but I actually think this is probably the only game that, in the back of their mind, probably are the big underdog. He thought they could beat Missouri, put together a game plan, and it just blew up in their face. Thought they could beat Virginia Tech, almost beat Texas Tech. They've won their last couple. I thought, though, one of the interesting things he said was why Oklahoma maybe was giving up some yards and some points. He says they're a little banged up. Pointed to Ryan Reynolds being out, hurting them. One of the reasons K-State put up so many yards on them is because they were banged up. And so if a wounded animal can kick your butt that bad, imagine when they get all of their complement of players back.
Yeah. I like when he said magnifying the ball control offense once again, and that's one way to stop Sam Bradford. And probably, well, I don't even think it's a problem. I think it's undoubtedly the best line in college football. You've got to keep them off the field. And I think that, you know, he knows that. Hey, anytime. And then plus, not only that, you can't go down there and trot out a kicker to bang a field goal through. When you have the ball control offense, you've got to go on drives to result in 7 points. Because you start trading in field goals, it's not going to work against Oklahoma.
Well, no, not against Oklahoma, but sometimes when that's the kind of offense you run, you limit yourself on having big play touchdowns. And, you know, you look at touchdowns, yeah, you can march down the field and score from one-yard runs, but you also have to be able to have some big plays on your touchdown drives. A couple other things, Kohler from Harvard, Wortman from Grand Island Central Catholic, maybe seeing even more playing time with Phillip Dillard out this Saturday. They're going to get a quick lesson in what a top-five team in the country is all about again. And if anybody asks them about Nebraska-Oklahoma playing every year, they should yank their – right there, boom, there's your credentials gone. You're an idiot. Even if Nebraska and Oklahoma wanted to play every year, you think they would? No. Why? What other conference in the country has two schools that aren't playing because of the conference schedule playing every year? Nobody. Why would Nebraska do that? Why would Oklahoma do that? I mean, let's face it. How many times has this rivalry actually been even? How many times?
Wow.
Very, very few. Very, very few times can you say that this game has been played with a 3-point spread.
Well, I think you go back to a lot of the 70s and the 80s. I think you talk about that. What would you say?
Well, do you think
with a realistic chance that the other team had a chance to win?
I will say this. The one thing is if they're going to this 12-game schedule and there's four non-conference games, that at least opens a slight window. And I guess it would also be a novelty that Nebraska-Oklahoma would be the first schools to do this.
I don't know. Even if you're Oklahoma, you've already got Texas every year, which the monster, the onus, if you will, is focused on that game in the Red River Shootout.
And it would flat out limit Nebraska to scheduling another quality non-conference game.
Well, if that's your take and you want Oklahoma on the schedule, you know what? We're going to have four non-conference games. Hell, that just does it. Let's put Florida, LSU, and USC on there, too. Let's just get it done. Let's just play the best of the best.
So do you think we should play Oklahoma every
No!
year? No! Okay. Doug and Daddy Show, glad to have you along with us today, and that's going to wrap things up for our always extended Tuesday edition. Sean Callahan's going to be by with the Big Red Report right after this We sign off here in about 40 seconds, and then we'll get back into the Tirico and Van Pelt show. So pleased to have you with us. Bo Pelini press conference every Tuesday on the Doug and Daddy Show. We want to thank Mitch Sherman, Husker beat writer from the Omaha World Herald, for joining us from the press conference this morning. Also to Dan Moore, Hall of Fame head football coach at Ansley High School, and to the head men's basketball coach at Hastings College, Lance Creech, as they tip off their season this week. We'll talk with the Hastings women's basketball coach, Jeff Dittmer, later this week. That's coming up Thursday on the program. Tomorrow, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and we get into the Oklahoma Sooners with Mike Jones from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
I just noticed on your little list of football games, here's Stanford, who plays Washington State, 30-point spread. Ooh. Stanford, you gotta love the Fighting Harbaughs. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 here in Kearney. 1550 to our friends in Hastings. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!